anyway. Hey, everybody. Welcome to My Worst Date. I'm Cassie.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Christina.
Hi.
Welcome. Bienvenue.
I feel like we have a lot to discuss. Yes.
So much. Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian. Hinge doing voice memos. Like, there's too much going on.
Things that we haven't talked about. Taylor Swift.
No, yes. Listen. Okay. I'm setting my drink
down. So we're starting
down.
Here.
We'll okay. start here. Okay. I am setting my drink down to have this discussion with y'all. Because look, I like Taylor Swift. I think that her last couple of albums were pretty good. The ones she released in the pandemic, like Evermore and Folklore or whatever. I was never really big on her when she was at her like peak.
Sure.
And I think it was because I was hashtag not like the other girls. And like right. didn't want to. Like I was like, ugh, you know, like.
No, I get you.
Basics like Taylor Swift, right? And I had that like very toxic mentality about her. But the truth is, that woman can write a fucking song.
Yeah.
Like she is a great lyricist. Like just is incredible. And she
good for you.
Good for her.
Like honestly, like I've never, I'm also not Team Swiftie. I've never been like somebody who's like big. But I don't have anything like anti her. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm like, kudos. You write your own shit. I think that's fucking great.
Totally.
I think it's great. I think I'm stand behind her re-releasing her shit because of the shit that fucking Scooter did with her masters. I am like team her 100%. It's fucked up how the music business works.
Yep.
And so I'm the same as you two. I missed the boat. I never got Red. Like I've never listened to it, but I did see her on SNL with that 10-minute version of All Too Well. And that is a fucking excellent, very specific piece of songwriting that's got a like death of a thousand cuts to whomever it's about.
We all know
because she sure did not come out and say, "Well, it ain't him."
Well, and
I feel like she would.
Also, we know because not like this isn't definitive, but like people have done the timeline.
Oh yeah,
already. So they're like, "That's who it is," and then that also.
Scarf. Also, people got the pictures and receipts. They coming out.
Receipts. People are pulling Jake Gyllenhaal's childhood photos. And they're like, did you sleep in a twin bed, Jake?
Mm-hmm.
Because this looks pretty damning right here. And then also, she released a 15-minute short film.
Yeah.
And the person she cast, who I've seen in other things, but I wouldn't know him right off. I think his name is Logan or something. But
looks like him.
It's Jake Gyllenhaal. And they put that man in a slouchy beanie.
Yeah.
And we know.
Honey.
We fucking know.
I know who that is. Okay?
And let me tell you, I sent you guys a TikTok of a woman talking, and she's like, I've always liked Jake Gyllenhaal. I've never really been a Taylor Swift fan. But after reading the lyrics to All Too Well, I will fight that man in the street for what he did to Taylor Swift. And I will tell you, it is some of the most, like, if you've ever been heartbroken, especially it's so specific, the lyrics of like being heartbroken at a young age and feeling like you were taken advantage of. She has one line that's like, you kept me like a secret, but I kept you like an oath.
And the line like, that got me oof. Was the one that's like, that I keep getting older, but your girlfriends stay my age.
Because she has a line in there where she's like, you told me you broke up with me. Like maybe if I was older, it would have worked out.
Right.
But now like your girlfriends are the same age I was basically. Like they're in their 20s.
Yeah. Call them that shit.
Oh, it's like, it is some of the most like supremely like. Oh,
and have we all like all dated the older man when we were younger?
Yeah,
like, have we all gone through that heartbreak? And so that's really when I listened to the song, because everyone's going like ape shit about it. I'm like, you know what? Like, I respect musicians and stuff. I don't know why I'd never really listened to Taylor Swift. And I'm like, I'm gonna give it Red a listen, like her version. I want to listen to it. I want to go through it. And I started with that SNL clip, and I was like, holy shit. It's really good.
It is.
It's really good.
Like some of the lines in it like are so like hit me so well.
Right.
Where I'm just like, she does have a real gift for lyrics. Like it's because no one's saying like she is the best vocalist in the whole world or the best guitar player in the whole world. But like, you call me up again just to break me like a promise is so like, oh, Jesus. It like makes you feel so like what you felt when you were like 19.
It takes you to a place.
Yeah. And beyond like their age difference, which is a huge thing in this, you know, because of course they're like, you're with 10, someone who's
11 years or something.
Yeah,
right?
10 or 11 years, which is fine. Sure. Like, you know, Anthony is 11 years older than me. You know, it's fine, but you have to know as the older person in that relationship going in that it feels so much like he had no intention on like
but
making
he
it
had
real
to have thought he was beyond.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he is out of left fucking field
like,
for Jake.
He's
Jill.
Like, God fuck damn.
Again. Went through this before. We're re-releasing this
Well,
song.
And he didn't even get that much smoke last time because this is her 10-minute version. So she's like, all the shit I wanted to say and couldn't say before. Well, surprise, motherfucker. Here we go. Yeah. Like, and oh, just imagine you broke up with someone a decade ago.
Yeah.
Like, how do you feel if you're Jake Gyllenhaal's current girlfriend?
You get the GTFO. You get the fuck out.
Yeah, you're out.
She's 25. You get the fuck out.
Who is he dating now?
She's like a model. I looked her up. I was like, damn. Jake Gyllenhaal girlfriend.
Everybody did. Everybody's like, oh, shit.
And I don't know who she is, but she's like a model or something, and she's 25.
Oh, that tracks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, I'm not
shaming.
And
what, he's like, 41 now?
41-ish, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean. You're like gonna explode.
Oh man, the internet is coming for this man's throat in a way that I have not seen the internet band together like this in like a minute. Dionne fucking Warwick got in the action. Dionne Warwick tweeted,
queen of Twitter.
Oh, just incredible. She tweeted and told Jake Gyllenhaal to give Taylor her scarf back. And she was like, you don't even have to pay for postage. Just put it in the box and I'll pay
everybody
for it, Jake.
Knows.
Well, think about all the stuff, though, that's happened over the past couple of years where I do think the narrative has changed where, like, people are, I don't want to say tired of the, like, older man, young, barely adult female or whatever. Because, like, Chris D'Elia got busted.
Honey,
for it,
but busted like, for like that was like underage.
Yeah, that was underage. But still, yeah. I mean, I do think though I have started seeing people have a lot more critical conversation around even Leonardo DiCaprio and taking a critical eye at like it is just because it's legal doesn't mean it's normal to break up with your girlfriends after they turn 26.
Like age out.
Yeah, no, literally, because people have made actual charts where they're like, you have never had a girlfriend. You are in your mid to late 40s.
Yeah.
And you have never had a girlfriend over the age of 25.
That's a red
it's
flag
legal,
to
but
me.
But it's fucking weird. It's weird because it's like, why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
You know, what does that mean about like who you're going
it's
after?
It's an arrested development, I think. You know what I mean? Like these guys, well, and especially like you look at Leo. Leo was got famous when he was like a kid.
Yeah.
You know, so he was like a, you know, teenager, like, I think that there's like an arrested development. Like he probably never really had to age out of himself. Like he never really probably aged himself past 25. He's never probably had to do shit for himself since he was a child. So, I mean,
yeah. And listen, I'm like not a huge like Sex in the City fan or proponent or whatever. I think in its time it was revolutionary, but I mean, I am actually kind of glad that they are bringing it back for to have women on screen that are in their 50s having conversations about sex and relationships.
Yes.
When usually, like, what other representation do we have? Like Golden Girls? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah,
just
come
like,
on.
You know, to normalize seeing women who are in their 50s or their 40s on screen or whatever talking about things that still matter to them, like sex, like love, like relationships, that sort of thing, I think is really important because the narrative has always been like, once you get into your 30s, you're like fucking nobody.
Right.
You're invisible. You don't matter. Like, especially once you get past childbearing age, like, please just quietly go in the corner and like, you know, lure kids with your gingerbread house. So
happily, that sounds like the it female actually urge. Does sound that is like a goal situation. I get to live alone in the woods with like some cat.
Cottagecore.
Incredible. I get to have a fucking practical magic middle age.
Totally.
I love it.
Yeah.
I incredible. Think that, I think too, like Sarah Jessica Parker has recently been dealing with a lot of kickback, and she's like, would you expect me to just like fucking stop acting because I got old? Like, hi, like I still exist, I'm still alive.
Well, yeah,
would you think I would stop aging too?
Yeah, like, she allowed herself to age naturally as well. Yeah. Which, like, I look, man, I have nothing wrong with like Botox or fillers or anything else.
Do
I
you.
Mean, you do you,
whatever
entirely.
Makes you feel good.
However, she clearly didn't want to, and like. Men in Hollywood don't necessarily have to do all of that stuff to continue to work.
And I'm sorry, she's still fucking totally bangable.
Oh man,
and so
she
hot.
Just did a whole thing for Vogue.
Oh, and she's gorgeous.
She looks amazing, and she looks like she's still got so much like vibrancy,
right?
Like, and I think that that's incredible. And so, like, that's kind of the thing where it's just like I have clearly, like, again, Anthony's 11 years older than me, like. It's not like I am straight across the board. Like, it's weird if you date someone who's younger than you. Like, that's not at all what I'm saying. But I do think seeking out women specifically because they are a certain age is weird. And it is a red flag because what, why? Like, what does that say? It either says something about you, about like not being able to accept the fact that like this, the other half of your species ages in the same way you age, or, and this is worse, you're going after women who you feel like aren't experienced enough to recognize your bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, and
that you can control.
That you can control. Mm-hmm, right.
Because, right.
And so, and
aren't going to question you.
And that's not me shading women in their 20s or young women at all.
No, like, we admitted at the very beginning that we were all those young women. Yeah. It is readily available for us. I have had a couple relationships with guys that were much older than me when I was, you know, 17, 18, 19 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a decade. 15 years older than me.
Yeah.
You know, and me thinking, oh, I'm so mature.
I'm so mature. Right.
They're paying attention to me or whatever, and not recognizing now, looking back, I'm like,
oh, God. They're paying attention to you because they perceive you as not being as mature. That's why.
For sure.
Honestly.
I think, and you wonder too, like, how much do they really recognize that in themselves? Or is there any...
Are they aware?
Are they aware at all?
Is it just normal behavior?
Like, or are they just like, I only date younger girls because they're not as stuck in their ways, right?
Right,
because
that's
the thing that you
too,
hear.
Though.
But that's the thing that you hear, right? Like, oh, once people are like, they get past a certain age, you're like stuck in your ways and like...
That's gross.
Well, okay, it is, but hear me out. People say things like this because like everybody, like, especially if you've been single for a really long time. Oh, I'm stuck in my ways. I'm stuck in the ways that I do things. I don't want somebody who has, they're stuck in their own ways. So I'm going to date somebody younger. It is gross, right? Like it is like a gross thing
to me,
think about as far as like the manipulation factor of it.
To me, it feels like I want someone who I can raise in the way I want a partner to be.
Of course.
And like that to me, that means you're not willing to compromise. It means you're stuck in your ways.
That's right.
You're not willing to compromise.
Yeah.
In the way that you need to compromise in a relationship to be a healthy partner. Like, and that is so... Like, listen, everyone listening, that is a red flag. It doesn't matter, like, your gender.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying that it wasn't a red flag. I'm
totally.
Just saying I can see how people justify this for themselves. That's the thing that people, they mentally go through to justify the reasons in which that they date maybe a younger person. Mm. Yeah, it's not good. I'm not saying
well,
it's
I think
a
we're
red
giving
flag.
Them the benefit of the doubt. I think a lot of
people
just
that's a
just
you problem. If you justify
like
it that way, that's a problem with you.
19-year-olds are hot and like...
Yeah, well, I mean, yes. I think that, that's a societal issue.
Yeah.
On
where
a
I'm
larger
just like,
scale.
Dude, I think, and I've said on this podcast, this is honestly a like... I want to someday have lunch that turns into dinner that turns into late night drinks with Gillian Anderson.
Oh yeah.
And et cetera. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, she is hotter to me now.
Oh yeah.
In her 50s.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, and I do think that it is improving. Representation of women who are beyond childbearing age and seeing them as beautiful, as sexual, that sort of thing is improving. It's better than it was 10 years ago. And it's way better than it was 20 years ago. So I'm hoping that we move in that direction. But yeah, yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal's just got to be shitting his pants.
His publicist is just like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, no. They're like, Jake, you can't go out in a beanie or a scarf all fall or,
no.
all fall or winter. No. You know what I mean?
You might just go to an island maybe, someplace real, real warm.
Because look, the girlies have... We've got new re-release of Taylor Swift. We've got new Adele. And Kacey Musgraves' divorce album came out. And we are not well. It is sad girl fall out here.
Yeah, it is.
Amen.
The girls will come for your ass, Jake.
We're not having it. We're not having it.
No.
We've got things to say. We've spent 2 years pent up.
Oh, no.
We've had time to reflect on our own experiences. And we're like, you know what? You know what? I am going to type that email. I am going to make that social media post.
Yeah. Amen. I told you guys when you guys came over, I have not had Facebook in months, bitch. And did I re-download my Facebook just to take somebody to school today?
Yeah.
I fucking did.
Yeah, you did.
Because I was just like, you know what? I have had it. I'm like not doing well. So I fucking... took them to church, and then I deactivated my Facebook again.
Seek your truth,
that's
man.
Where we're at.
That's where we're at. Okay? It's 2021 we're holidays. We're yeah, exactly. But we're not struggling as bad as the people that are on Hinge right now.
Girl,
dealing
segue.
With that new
did you buy
audio.
That segue?
Gorgeous. I did. I used that segue to traverse here in LA, and I'm telling you, I cannot cringe harder at those audio prompts. What? They are.
You know what? Oof. Whoever came up with that idea at like the Hinge table, mm-hmm. like in that, whoever was like in that brainstorming session,
dude.
Chaotic evil.
Yes.
Like they straight up, they were like, you know what? Throw that in there. See what
That's
happens.
That's not a good look. Yeah. Now, I've seen all the TikToks with the guys answering the prompts. It's not a good look for
anybody.
No.
Anybody. So I don't want to just like throw the dudes under the bus or anything like that. I wouldn't want to do this either. Because I think anything that you say, even if you're trying to keep it light or whatever, it's just not going to land the way you think it will.
You're having one-sided conversation. So what we're talking about, if you don't know, on Hinge, you know, there were a lot of prompts to answer questions. And now you can, instead of just like typing out your answer, you can leave a voice memo of your answer. And I have yet to see one that is good.
Oh, it's...
Granted, it's... The ones I've seen are compilations, and I'm sure they're picking bad ones, but wow.
Yeah.
It's truly horrifying.
It's really bad. You try to land a joke. Like, I've seen it, like, a couple of ones where, like, you know, they've tried to land a joke within. It's like, how do you pronounce your name? And the guy's like, daddy, or whatever. And it's just like,
stop.
And it's like, no. It's your jokes are not going to land. It's like... What a 15-second clip that you get to answer
too
whatever bullshit prompts are on Hinge, and it's like you don't know your audience, who you're speaking to, and it's like it's everything about it is so cringe. I'm like, how is anyone getting dates?
No, I mean, there was that one I played for
literally
both of you.
No one matches anymore.
No,
like, no,
it's like,
no, they're like, oh, and you mean, I guess you know right off if you can't stand the sound of someone's voice, though,
I guess,
but
yeah.
I played that one for you both before we started where he sounded, it was so robotic.
And yes, he's like, I have a very regimented schedule.
You're like, I can tell.
And you're like, oh yeah, you do.
And it also sounded like
But I can also be spontaneous. I was like, wait, what? Sir?
Because it sounded like he was reading.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's like he wrote this out beforehand, which is so upsetting.
Yeah.
Like that you like wrote out your response. And then you're reading it. And so he had to put like an inflection where he thinks like human beings would do
this
that.
This is where human beings would inflect.
Yeah, it's not good. I hope that they don't roll that over to Tinder and Bumble as well or some of the other
dating apps. I do not
think
they will.
Apps.
I don't
I think
it's
they're
go
looking
well.
At what's happening with Hinge right now. And they're like, you know what? No,
yeah, this is fine.
We don't need that because that's the thing. When I used to swipe, you do kind of like read things in your own voice or in the voice you imagine them having. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and you get disappointed. But I think it gives more people a chance of matching than on the Hinge thing where you're like, oh yeah, no, absolutely not.
And voice recording, I mean, you know how I can barely listen to myself. I'm like, why is my voice sound that way? And then I'm just like, to do that on a dating app, it just is so.
Does anyone like the sound of their own voice? No. Does anyone, like, why would I want to expose you to that right away? Like,
no, this is why we don't call each other. This is why we don't leave voicemails. No. There is a reason.
Yeah, entirely. At that point, it's just like, here's a link to the podcast. Like, thoughts and prayers, you know?
You get everything you need to know there.
You know, I mean, if you can handle more. It or not, right? Like, it is what it is.
Well, who should we fuck, marry, kill this week? I know we talked last week about people that shouldn't be hot, but that are, because I use the example of Al Swearingen in Deadwood, Ian McShane. So then
this would be like, are we talking about characters that shouldn't be hot that are hot, or are we talking about like celebrities that shouldn't be hot that
we're,
are hot?
We're talking about celebrities that shouldn't be hot that play a character that you're like, oh God. Yeah. Like Ian McShane, objectively not like hot or whatever.
Sure.
But then he's playing this character for whatever reason. You're like, oh, hello.
And that character should not be hot either.
No.
No.
Oh, no. I take issue with myself.
Yeah. I had a long look in the mirror.
Kind of feel like I should have watched Sons of Anarchy for this one. Like, I feel like there's probably I feel like there's probably a good example
Who's
of this.
Who's that guy?
In there.
Hellboy? That guy?
Oh, Ron Hellboy. Perlman
is in Sons of Anarchy, and it is upsetting. But you are like,
I get it.
You know, for me, I just started watching The Sopranos.
Phil Dunphy came to mind. And just completely the opposite.
Oh, no.
So wholesome.
So wholesome.
But okay. Sopranos. Listen, never had seen Sopranos before. And I'd heard people talk, right? Like, I think there was an episode of Daily Zeitgeist where someone was talking about how they had a sex dream about Tony Soprano. And I was like, what? Like, why? Like, why would you ever?
But now that you're watching it.
Now, listen, I wouldn't go so far as to say that I would have a sex dream about Tony Soprano because, listen, I am watching it and, like, objectively to me, I'm like, I don't get this. But there is something, like, weirdly attractive about that character. It speaks to how great James Gandolfini is.
He was really great.
Because you shouldn't, like, he makes that protagonist, like, it's an anti-hero situation. Right. It's just like, you shouldn't be rooting for him, but he has, like, a soft spot, and he's going to therapy. Come on. Give the guy a break. You know? So, that would have to be mine.
Okay.
I think. And I'm not happy about this.
Okay.
Do you know who you're going to do?
I think I'm going to do one based off of just solely the idea that I came up with earlier because I haven't seen the show. I've like watched like one episode, but Steve Buscemi from Boardwalk Empire.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just the power thing, right?
Yeah.
A little bit.
But he's not as like rough. Yeah. As Tony Soprano is. Yes. He's definitely.
Or Swearingen. Like, this is a
very.
We're on a scale of roughness.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he's definitely like a fucking criminal, an anti-hero or whatever. And he's also Steve Buscemi. So you got a lot of things working against you in this character. I love Steve Buscemi.
I love Steve Buscemi.
Is he conventionally attractive?
No, not even a little bit.
No.
Not even a little.
No, Angel.
Angel.
Dolphins. Are you going with Swearingen? Is that what you're picking? Or you have someone else?
No, because I want to give something that I think that casts it. Well,
I don't have a clue who that is.
Yeah. So I'm going to go off the rails here.
Okay. I like it.
I feel like we're already like off the rails, but yeah.
Yeah.
Does it feel dumpy?
No. I am going to say Tilda Swinton.
Okay.
Tilda Swinton
in what? Or just in general?
I'm going to do Doctor Strange. because there was something about her as a bald Celtic magician that I don't know why.
Wow.
Did something for me. And I was like, she's like really hot in this movie.
Okay. Here's the thing about I love an ethereal ass bitch.
I feel like
Tilda Swinton and like Kate Blanchett, like those like very like ethereal, high cheekboned, like perfect complexion like people are like I love it.
It's like David Bowie and Tilda Swinton, not of this earth.
Yes, you know? Exactly. Like they look like beautiful
beings,
aliens, right? Yeah. Like yeah, just, and I picture that there's just no body hair on that, like anywhere on their body. Absolutely, you know what I mean? Not. They're just like slick.
Yeah, slick.
But full disclosure, I haven't seen Doctor Strange. I've seen her in it, like,
right?
Pictures of her. You're not selling me on like magician.
Okay. Well, I'm like, she is like thousands of years old. She's all these fucking crazy powers. And there's just something about like her deep knowledge and confidence stuff that I'm just like, she's just like tiny and powerful. And I think that it's really attractive. Okay. I don't know. And also, you know, I have a thing for bald.
You do?
You really do?
You really do.
It is true.
You
have a track record now.
You love somebody that could take you to an otherworldly plane.
Oh, like
you,
I do.
You have a thing for that for real.
And listen, I'm not one of those people that's like, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual or whatever. But
don't you have that wooden sign in your house that says that?
It just says that. Exactly.
I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. But
it has that voice.
Exactly.
That's the font.
What if it was one of those like bass fish? That like flips up and says that.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
But
I know I'm getting you for Christmas.
But it is very much that there's a lot in this universe I don't understand, and it's like her character in that is like controlling a lot of aspects about the universe. I'm like, I feel like I can learn some shit.
I could get on board.
And I'm like, that was the first time. Listen, I've seen Tilda Swinton in a lot of things, and I'm always like, she's great. She's a great actress. But in this movie, I have to be honest, that I was like, oh, hello.
Oh, my
God. It's the ball.
Truly.
Dude, am I still laughing about a bass fish?
You know what? I bet we could buy one and like jailbreak it to say what we wanted.
Oh, totally. I would absolutely hang that on my wall.
That's hilarious.
I'm not religious. I'm spiritual.
It's motion activated anytime someone walks by it.
You're like, God damn it.
Okay, so, this is all right. Quite this is the random one. Right. This is wacky.
Real wacky.
So we have Tilda Swinton in Doctor Strange. We have Steve Buscemi in Boardwalk Empire and James Gandolfini in
The Sopranos.
Tony Soprano.
I know what I'm going to do.
Okay.
All right. I am going to marry Buscemi. I'm going to fuck Swinton. And I am going to kill Gandolfini.
Okay. I understand.
Yeah, here it is. Okay, so... Buscemi, I just like, he's just a right amount of criminal I'm willing to put up with, right? Like,
I don't know. You haven't seen Boardwalk Empire.
It's true.
Though.
No, I haven't seen enough of Boardwalk Empire to really, I mean, oh shit.
Well, okay, it's been a while. I did watch all of Boardwalk Empire.
Same.
I watched it start to finish, but I'm having trouble remembering exactly because, like, I am watching Sopranos right now, so I'm very. It's fresh in my mind, the crimes of Tony Soprano. And I'm only on season one, so I'm sure that shit goes off the fucking rails.
I feel like from
very off the rails to me.
Steve Buscemi murders less people than Tony Soprano does.
But he does
overall.
Murder people because
but
I do remember him murdering people. Although I feel like he is less... His murdering is more of a, like, shoot 'em situation. Whereas I just watched Tony Soprano strangle someone.
Yes.
So and that's true.
He's also a little bit less philandering overall than Tony Soprano.
Buscemi? So Buscemi has like one consistent mistress.
Correct.
Through the entire thing. He's married
I respect that. Just one single.
No,
you'll appreciate it later when I tell you my story.
Just one.
I mean,
just the one. Yeah. Well, in the first season of Sopranos, he only has the one so far. So I'm sure there will be.
Well, yeah. We'll check in later.
I am going to. Okay. I'm going to... I've not seen Doctor Strange. I'm going to marry Tilda Swinton. I don't know. Like, yeah. Maybe it, there's something about just like maybe yeah. she can make me just like a mountain witch and oh. like we can just hang out.
I feel like you she were could.
Just talking about like cottagecore yeah. shit. And I'm like, it is so happening with you.
Yeah.
Until this winter.
Yeah. I feel like we're going to have like just a lovely little life. You know, she's going to teach me a lot of magic.
And sex when you know magic. God, and shit.
Like, insane.
Wait, have you guys seen The Magicians yet? I know I've told you guys about
it. I started it, but I haven't finished. I mean, I started season one.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm. Oh. There you are must. A million things where I'm like...
I'm going to be levitating and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm yeah. like, I can get on board with that.
I actually don't think you'll touch during sex, but it'll be great.
It oh, will God. Be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And
you're like, ah.
Beautiful. I love it. Okay. So...
I guess that's how you come. I don't know.
Oh. What is that? Okay. Here's my take on this. Buscemi in Boardwalk Empire is colder. Like, Tony Soprano has a warmth okay. to him.
Yeah, he's very closed off.
Right, yeah.
I see
like,
that.
He,
but
like,
I like that.
Buscemi in he doesn't have a lot of feelings.
I like that.
Whereas, like, Tony Soprano is fighting against his, like,
I don't like that.
I personality-wise... No,
and I think that's fair.
Well, but here's the thing. Here's what I'm going to do, all
okay.
right?
Okay.
I'm actually going to fuck... I'm going to fuck Buscemi, and I'm gonna kill Tony Soprano. But if I had to pick, if it was just between those two to marry, I would much rather be married to Tony Soprano. Even though, like, he is in therapy. He has a conscience. Whereas, like, Steve Buscemi might, in Boardwalk Empire, might straight up be a psychopath. Like, he doesn't show remorse at all that I can remember.
Well, I cannot wait until you finish Sopranos, because even though Tony Soprano is in therapy, he's still most definitely a psychopath.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah. But
therapy doesn't cure everybody.
But my problem is...
willingness to go is like, it's a
I
good
appreciate
sign,
that, you
I
know.
Appreciate, but...
He seems like a pretty good dad so far.
Yeah.
But I feel like the issue would be you cannot just like decide to leave Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you can decide to leave either one of them, but I feel like Tony Soprano is going to become more attached to you.
Yeah, you don't get to leave that. That's I think that's why.
If he doesn't want you to leave, you're not going to leave. Whereas like with Steve Buscemi, I don't think he's going to care.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I feel like you could have a one night stand and it would be like, all right.
Yeah.
You know, whereas
you're
like
exactly
if Tony Soprano decides he's in love with you,
you're fucked.
It's an issue.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that I'm going to do that.
I agree. Good good call.
Okay. I am going to marry Tilda Swinton because I want to see all of the universes. I want all of the knowledge. Mm-hmm. I want to learn how to do the geometric things. I want to just rub that bald head.
Mm-hmm. Just motorboat that
head. Motorboat, son of a bitch.
So, yes. So now it comes down to fucking or killing. For Tony Soprano and Steve Buscemi. And I gotta say, I did watch all of Sopranos, not once, but twice.
Okay.
And so there are sex scenes.
Oh.
Oh.
So I feel like I know how Tony Soprano fucks.
Okay, great.
And.
Good or bad?
Not a fan.
Not a fan, sweaty.
Not a fan.
Sweaty and hairy.
It's very jackhammer.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's like an angry.
It's very aggro. And so I'm going to go with Steve Buscemi.
Okay.
I really am. I don't think it's going to be great. Honestly,
no.
Between either of them.
It's going to be okay.
It's going to be.
I really feel like, you know what? Well, we should look up his name because I feel bad calling him Steve Buscemi. But yeah, that
it's
character.
It's Nicky something, isn't it? Nucky.
Nucky
Thompson.
Because it's Enoch.
Yes.
Nucky
Thompson.
Okay. I feel like Nucky is going to be thinking about his like operation the whole time.
Oh,
like
yeah.
When you guys are together in bed, like he's not really thinking about you or even what he's doing. Like he's just thinking about like, I've got some deals I need to make after this.
Listen, sex during that time period where it takes place, because this is prohibition. So it's the 20s, not made for female pleasure.
No.
Nor like even considered for the most part.
No.
It seems like. So I just have a feeling it's just like when they like just in and out and
sound
done.
Effects.
And so then I get to go be a flapper somewhere else. And it's like, it'll be fine.
Yeah, but I mean, jazz time at
you're
least.
You're in Charleston, your way right out of there.
I know. I'm going to paint my knees. And
I feel like it's very loungy, right? Like, I feel like mm-hmm. it's sitting around in a silk negligee.
Yeah.
With a cigarette and a long
like yeah. holder,
right? Mm-hmm.
You got like one titty out because I feel yes, like they always
of course
did.
You
like,
do. You're in like a
silk, silk robe with just like one boob.
Yeah, it's like a nighty.
Yeah.
Just with no, house slippers.
Down with it. Fucking bathtub whiskey or whatever. Yeah. No. I'm going. I'm a fuck Buscemi. I'm going to kill Tony Soprano.
Yeah. And I also feel like Buscemi will pay for your lifestyle. Like, if you're his mistress, like, that's what he did. Didn't
yeah.
He just like bought a house for her and was just like, here's your mansion.
Yep.
You know, so.
Love it. Right. Love to see it.
Love it. Yeah. Well, that was a journey.
Yeah.
It was very random.
We do have a new patron that we need to shout out.
Yes. We just recorded the video.
Yeah, so that'll be coming your way soon. So we want to give a big thank you to Rachel Chopka, or Chopka.
Chopka.
Rachel Chopka, thank you so much for joining us on Patreon. We are so happy to have you. You joined our soulmate tier, so yay. We will be sending you all of your rewards soon, so be on the lookout for all of those. We do have some new Patreon content coming. We actually shot a taste test video today, so
yes,
I'm still drinking my regret from that video.
Same.
So much regret.
And we also have some other bonus content coming up later this month. So look out for that and let us know if you have any suggestions for FMKs or tainted love stories.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And let's take five and we'll come back with stories.
Sounds good.
And we're back. All right, Cass, kick us off.
Okay, I guess.
I guess I will.
I met a guy on online dating in an area I was considering moving. We chatted for a few weeks before finally meeting up. This was during COVID, so we agreed to meet outside and go for a walk. He asked me to meet at his office. When I was almost there, he let me know he was going to meet me out front and just pull up front and we'd head out to hike a trail nearby. Our first outing went really well. He was funny, kind, and intelligent. The conversation just flowed naturally for about 3 hours. I gave him a ride back to his office and we agreed to meet up again the very next day and walk around a small touristy village nearby. We met out front of his office again. He explained that he had friends visiting and that he had lent them his car to drive up to a nearby city for a couple of days. We stopped to grab food and he'd reached for his wallet and realized that he didn't have it. He had left it in his car. So I paid for lunch. It was another great day of conversation.
He's the guy with all the explanations, right? Yeah, like, oh, reasonable dude. Excuses. Yeah. You know?
Friends in town, borrowed a car, no big deal. Just pick me up at work. It's fine. So it was another great day of conversation. He was really open about his life and everything he'd gone through since his wife had passed. We met up again 2 days later.
What? No, I was just like, ooh.
You look very tense, Christina.
I know.
I'm like
gripping your hand like super hard.
We met up again 2 days later. He still didn't have his car. So I drove and bought lunch again. And at some point
pause. Wait. His car in the shop? Is that what you said?
No. He had friends in town. That they borrowed his car. His wallet was in the car.
And he hasn't gotten his wallet from the car?
No, this is just 2 days later.
But still, so you just didn't have your wallet for 2 days?
I mean,
bullshit.
No, I'm calling bullshit too.
Like nobody goes without their like debit card and ID for 2 days if they know where it is.
I mean, his friends have it. They're out of town. Why are you asking so many questions?
I'm sorry. You're FedExing that back to me immediately.
At some point in the day, he wanted to share some pictures from his phone. It was a pretty low grade model with a badly cracked screen. It just felt off that a professional who spends a great deal of time on his phone would not have replaced it. That coupled with the car and the wallet left me with a bad feeling, Keegan.
Yeah, don't that's worry. Right. Listen, you better follow that gut, girl.
But we were really enjoying each other's company, so I agreed to have him visit me at my home out of state.
No, you better put your fucking Nancy Drew hat on and fucking put together. You have given all the clues that we need to solve this story.
Amen.
Oh, listen, Scooby-Doo.
I know where this is going.
You're going to take that mask off.
So one of those meddling kids.
Like the last thing, I'm not shaming anybody, okay?
Listen.
We've all made questionable decisions in our lives. Mm-hmm. But I am saying, if your intuition is saying something feels weird, probably the last thing you should do is
invite
take that person
into your home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we were making plans by phone. After hanging up, I received a text from him explaining that he had suffered a major depression after his wife had died and had a friend stay with him who had robbed him of everything by selling everything of value in his house and emptying his bank account while he was out of town dealing with his wife's affairs. He was so devastated that he wound up losing his home and was now living in a shelter. I decided to do some digging.
Wise.
Oof. And checked out his license to practice in the state he lived in for the past 20 years.
Wait, what did he say he did?
He didn't. She didn't share, but apparently okay. Something that requires a license.
Got mm-hmm. it.
There was no record of him being licensed in any way there. I checked the two other states he'd claimed that he had lived in, found nothing in them there. I then did a public record check on him and discovered that he had recently been released from prison for identity theft, fraud, and stalking.
No!
He also had multiple arrests for violating protection orders and harassment going back more than 15 years. He kept texting and calling me even after I told him to stop.
No.
I blocked him and am incredibly thankful that I didn't that he didn't ever know my last name or where I live.
Oh,
amen.
My God.
You guys know, I talked to you about, you know, the situation that I'm in with, you know, with somebody in my family where I'm just like, you have to Google.
Have to do it. You have to do it. And also we need to learn to trust ourselves, myself included.
Yeah.
100%. I am queen of the benefit of the doubt, like in general in life. Like I love to give people like lots of chances, you know, and I like to think that just because you've made mistakes in your life doesn't mean that you're a bad person, right? Like 100%. However, if your alarms are going off, they're going off for a reason, and just light Googling, just maybe
a light cursory Google,
a light Goog, don't take them into your house. You know what I mean?
The title of this episode now is Light Goog.
Light Goog.
I don't even know how we would spell that.
Light Goog.
You know, just, it's brutal out there. Okay, so this is from Reddit. This person says that they don't have many bad date stories because they'd only been swiping for a few months before they met someone. Matched with a cute girl. She likes to climb and we have a good chat. Great, let's go and do some top rope and hang out. I guess if you say you like to climb in your dating profile, I guess going climbing on a first date is fine.
Yeah, hell yeah. I'm really tired because that first date was talking about like a fucking 3-hour hike first. Yeah. Now we're going climbing.
You're like, why?
I like active stuff in general.
Me too.
Like I do. And I actually enjoy climbing.
Yeah, me
but
too.
I still wouldn't want to do it on a first date because it's not really an activity that you can like talk during, you
Perfect.
Know. What? Getting to know someone, Cassie.
Oh,
okay, also, sorry. I don't really want someone to see me like sweat like that because you know I did a full face of makeup to go on this climb. So I'm not.
I gotta be honest. I get all the guys when I'm sweaty.
Oh.
Hey, that didn't come up.
Right? Oh. Well, we heard about your moves at the club last week. So
what did I do?
You banged your head against the stage.
Keegan Marie.
Sorry. You brought it up.
Keegan Marie. Not on the podcast.
You did.
Yes, you did.
Oh,
did.
Oh, shit. Did I really?
Yes.
Oh, it's between us.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Between us and all the listeners.
Oh, shit.
Okie dokie.
Is that already up?
Yep, the episode's called Sloppy Nights. You can feel free to.
You were hungover.
Like and subscribe.
In your defense, you were hungover. Might be
so
why.
I should listen to our podcast. I kind of pay attention to what I say on here. That's hilarious. Like, what is wrong
okay.
with me?
I don't know. Okay, so they agree to do some top rope and hang out. But she doesn't have a car. So I pick her up. 30 minutes off route. 30 minutes, not 45. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not thrilled, but whatever. Meet her, and well, it's not her. Or it is her from the profile, but maybe like from 5 to 8 years ago. Ooh. I'm tempted to call it off, but I'm too much of a softie. And she says she's made cookies. I love cookies.
I mean,
yeah.
You had me at cookies.
Right? You're going to go do something you love. You got cookies.
Yeah.
We head off to a small local cliff.
Ooh.
A cliff on a first date.
Oh, I thought we were going to do this like indoors.
Climbing okay. wall.
Right. Ugh.
I don't trust you enough to be Cliff.
Danger, no, Will Robinson.
No,
yeah.
No.
We arrive, walk the 10-minute approach. The conversation was still fine, but I'm wary now. I resolve to just have a nice time and have some fun and just learn from the experience. She's perfectly nice, but I'm seeing red flags. At the crag. Crag?
Sure. Yeah.
At the crag, she says she borrowed her friend's shoes and isn't sure they'll fit.
Oh.
This was on your dating profile that you liked to climb.
Right. Okay? Yeah.
Same with the harness. Uh-oh. Ooh. Well, they do fit. Yay. So I rig the anchor and we start climbing on this nice 5.6 easy for a warm up. No idea what that means.
Sounds hard. I'm going to just go out and say.
Did you find this on a climbing
website?
Yeah.
5.6
climbers.
Yeah. Reddit thread apt climber.
I mean, I'm thinking, I don't know anything about climbing, but I'm thinking like a solid 3 might be more my speed, you know? Like except that she can't climb. Fine. Okay. Whatever. We're still chatting, but she works on the off ground move and she just bursts into tears.
Oh.
Turns out it's her sister's dating profile.
Oh no.
That's why it doesn't look like her.
Oh, and
that's who she borrowed the stuff from. Ugh. And that her husband doesn't know she's on dating.
Spoiler alert.
Sister's account. I find all of this out amid tears, and so does everyone else there.
Oh, wow.
Overhear it. Some very awkward talk therapy later, I drop her back at her house. Is it her house? Is it her neighbor's house? So her husband doesn't see. And and she leaves me with the cookies as an apology.
Well,
they were store-bought.
Nice.
Wow. Pants on fire.
Wow. I hope she took store-bought cookies. I hope she took those big like Loft House cookies and put them in like a Tupperware. Like she made them.
And you're like, no. Nope. They sure taste
you
like
sure didn't.
Chips Ahoy.
It tastes like Costco.
Chips Ahoy.
My God.
Is this a soft bag? They're pretty perfect.
Oh my gosh. All right. I got mine from Reddit. She says, my worst date was actually my best date.
Okay.
Started talking to this cute guy on an app. Found out we had a lot in common. And I also noticed he was using British slang. For instance, I'm American, but like he would use the O-U-R on stuff.
All right. Yeah, that's how I spoke
or
to
like,
yeah.
Or like Canadian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is kind of a turn on for me. So I was super excited about this. We met up at a bar a couple days later, pretty much talked for hours while barely even ordering anything. We just clicked instantly. Ended up taking him back to my place to drink and hang out. We just had like a really good time. Apparently, his family is really prominent in the UK, and he came to America to get involved in the music and fashion scenes.
Fake. Sounds fake.
Yeah, I don't.
Fake.
I was just enamored for him, and we drank and talked and played pool till like 4 a.m. on a work night.
Ooh,
ended up
a work night.
You were calling in to work the next day.
Dude, when Eric and I first started talking, we stayed up till 5 a.m. talking.
I get it completely. That's the beginning of a relationship for sure.
Yeah,
like you're stay up all night talking.
You can't get enough. Ended up cuddling in my bed to some Netflix, passed out for a few hours, and he Ubered home while I went to work. Honestly, by far the best date I've ever had. So at work, I decided to see if I could find out who he is.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Did some research. Did the light goog.
A light goog.
Did a light goog. Found out his real full name via a tat I remembered seeing.
No. That's more than a light Google. Yes. That is some deep dive FBI shit right there.
Damn.
Wow.
She was like, known let me priors.
CCTV this shit.
Zooming in. Zoom in.
Oh my God. Pretty quickly found a local news article.
Oy.
He was a sex offender.
Oh.
Who was released from jail a week before our date. And the music fashion stuff was all a lie.
A week before.
And he wasn't British. He fakes an accent as part of his MO.
No. Stop. No.
There are so many things.
No.
One. Okay, first of all, most burning question in my mind. How specific was that tattoo? What was the tattoo?
I know. I
was
that
a name
know.
On the tattoo?
It's oh, so
it yeah, I think it was like maybe could have been his last name or something like that. Oh.
Or
family
like even
name.
A relative or something or something.
Wow.
But yeah.
Damn.
Oh, what a bummer.
Faked a British accent.
That's
all
good.
All night.
I feel like there is something wrong with your brain if you can keep that up for an entire like
right?
extended period of time without slipping. Mm. That's wow. Very impressive and also terrifying. Wow. So we had three catfishes.
Yeah, pretty much. Three all of these stories. Dates could have been avoided with a Google search beforehand.
100%. I guess they're not, just I guess they're not necessarily a catfish, but kind of. Like you're not honest about who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
I love the theme.
Oh, me too. Wow.
I don't even know if we can do a tainted love tonight. Like, well, I feel like this has already been the most wild ride. I'm like,
the first time in the history of my worst day, we're just going to call it a night.
All right. So I got a lot of my information from a Dateline episode originally aired in 2009 called Dangerous Liaison.
Already love it.
I was about to say, I think I've seen this one.
Oh, you know what? I think they re-released the podcast.
I think that's
the
one.
I forgot that I had even listened to it because I didn't find it through Dateline. I found it someplace else. Because I'm Sporty Spice, of course, you know, I'm always going to go, well, okay. So the story is, it was like hard for me to figure out what I wanted to do this week. So I was like, I found one that was really good. And then I was like, I don't want to do another like old timey, crimey type of thing.
Gotcha. Sometimes you're right? in the mood for that and sometimes you're not.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like I was like, I want something fresher and feels a little bit more this century. Mm-hmm. Right. So I also got information from an ABC News article that I think actually was from a 2020 episode, which I didn't watch. The article was by Emily Whip, Denise Martinez Raimondo, Brooke Strangeland, and Lauren Efron.
Wow,
it was a four person article.
Oh,
lots of research apparently that went into this. So this is a story that takes place outside of Chicago area.
Nice.
Happens in 2007, just outside of Chicago in Deerfield, Illinois. A woman hears a ruckus happening and she hears like a lot of noise. She hears a woman scream. She hears pop, pop, pops. And she's like, calls her upstairs neighbor. Because she's like, I think that was my neighbor that was screaming. So she calls up, she leaves a message. She's like, you know, I heard some screams. I just want to make sure you're okay. Please call me. She's really concerned because her neighbor's pregnant. And so she's like, kind of keeps an eye out, right? So she's like the right kind of nosy neighbor.
Yeah.
Neighbor doesn't answer. So she calls 911 and she's
that's a good point you've made is like, listen, don't be in everybody's like business, like mind your business, but also don't mind your business.
Right. Yeah.
Just keep one ear open.
Oh, right. You know me, I'm willing to get capital I involved. If
yes,
I hear some
you,
drama.
We know.
You truly are. You truly are.
I'm like, I want to be involved enough where I can kind of see it, but I don't want you to see me that I'm seeing. And if it gets real weird, I want to have my phone handy.
Oh, yeah. I will turn my audiobook off to listen to some drama.
Oh,
I heard some people yelling last night.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, what?
You're like, pause.
100. I was like, what's going on?
Pop
for
out
sure,
that earbud.
Right?
You're like, wait, what?
Like, I'm not a Christina. Like, I'm not going to lean out the window and be like, I'm calling the call.
Oh, yeah. No, I am. Like I said, capital I involved. Like you thought it was just drama between you. I'm like, I'm in this.
I see you.
Guess what, bitch?
I see what's you. Happening.
It's a Minaj situation. Yes. Now.
Now I'm in it.
Yeah.
Your noise has alerted me, and now I am involved in this.
Now I have to be involved in this. No one's going to be happy now. Hope you're happy with yourself. If I can't be happy, you can't be happy.
No one is.
No one's happy. All right. So they call the police, and the police arrive and to Ronnie Ryder's house. Ronnie Ryder is a lovely 41-year-old woman who is 7 months pregnant, and they find her laying on her kitchen floor, and she has been shot multiple times. Two of the shots are directly to her belly.
Oh,
so
no.
Somebody very much has targeted her. Like, this is not just like somebody tried to come in and rob the place. This is obviously like very motivated by something, right?
I know I've listened to this, but this is not sounding familiar.
Good.
So far. So yes.
I'm telling it in a maybe different way.
Awesome.
Okay. So Ronnie Ryder, like I said, she's 41 years old. She's 7 months pregnant. She has been dating for the past like almost two decades, Sean Gale. Sean Gale is a huge name in Chicago. He was part of the 1985 Super Bowl winning Bears. He is part of the team. He was a safety for the in the defense for the you know, big team. Like, this is, you know, so Super Bowl 85. I mean, you're talking about Super Bowl shuffle. This is like
peak NFL.
Peak NFL. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, and the Bears.
The Bears. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're talking like real royalty in Chicago. This is somebody.
And Chicago, I feel like, is a sports city too.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, there are some cities that you're just like, yeah, that city is about sports.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Boston.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, like Boston, Chicago, I think Cleveland, you know, like those are real like sports cities. Chicago is definitely a sports city. Mm-hmm. And of course, a team that took them to the Super Bowl. I mean, you're talking about like, this is their big deal.
Yeah.
And so they do a lot of like events and stuff. But he and Ronnie had been dating forever. So he and Sean and Ronnie had, not Shawnee, two different people.
Mm-hmm. That's their joint Facebook account. That's
exactly. They may have had a joint Facebook account, but they did not live jointly. They lived definitely separately. They both had their own places. They, you know, for as long as they'd been together, they hadn't gotten married. But this has just been a long-term relationship that's been going on for a really long time. And Ronnie was absolutely in love and completely devoted to Sean, and Sean seemed very devoted to her in most ways. I mean, everywhere they went, the pictures together, they were always the step and repeat together. This is his number one girl. You know, he's taking her everywhere, but they definitely do live separate lives. And, you know, as much as he's like Mr. Famous man of the about town, she's, you know, working two jobs. She works for a restaurant business, and she's also working at Macy's. You know, two jobs.
Interesting. So even though they've been together for, you said, like almost two decades.
Yeah.
Like, so she's not a traditional quote unquote like sports wife. Like a
not even a wife.
Well, but you know what I mean, like girlfriend of like a famous football player.
That's right.
They're usually kind of like kept in a lot of ways.
It seems that they very much had their own separate,
interesting,
like accounts, like separate, like I don't want to say separate lives, because they definitely were a couple. I mean, this is somebody like her family knew him. They were together for literally since they were like in their early 20s,
right, but
like right after they graduated college. Like,
intertwined in the way that you would normally see, like a lot of relationships that are together that long.
It could be like Dolly Parton and her husband.
But they
together. They do live together, but like he has no interest in doing like any kind of red carpet or interviews.
But she does do all
like
the red carpet with him, and she is like his step and repeat girlfriend. You know what I mean? Like, she's been.
It's just it's interesting to me because I feel like there's this stereotype about wives and girlfriends. I mean, there's like basketball wives, right?
Yes.
Like, there's all these stereotypes about like wives and girlfriends of professional athletes.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. It doesn't sound like she fits into that stereotype necessarily.
Definitely
right?
not.
Okay.
Not like didn't go for after his money, clearly. I mean, she was working two jobs.
Right.
She worked at Macy's because she really was into fashion and that was kind of her thing. So, I mean, it was like literally like just super into it, right? So they had recently found out, she had recently found out that she was pregnant. She's 41 years old. This is, you know, 20 years almost with this guy.
Yeah.
And she's 41 years old and just finds out she's pregnant. She's thrilled. And yeah. At first, I mean, Sean kind of is like, I don't know about this. Like, this is, he's like consummate bachelor. He's living truly a bachelor life because, you know, as much as he has a full-time girlfriend that he's been with mm-hmm. for that long, he doesn't have to live with, he doesn't live with her. Right. And he can really do whatever he wants. And he had been doing whatever he wants for the past 20 years.
I'm getting commitment phobe from this guy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at least commitment to a one person phobe. because
touché.
He definitely committed to a lot of people in the bedroom, it turns out. Sean was quite the ladies' man and had quite the list of women I don't even want to use this word because it's kind of gross, but he really had like a stable of women. Like, he really had so many people.
Like, this was it like the same women, yes, that he kept like on rotation?
Yeah, like kept on a rotation. So not all these women kind of knew about each other.
Yeah, and it seems as though if Ronnie knew, I'm sure she had to.
It seems that she didn't know. And here's why it makes me, I think that. There was a woman that Sean started seeing by the name of Monica Karowska. Monica was a beautiful Polish woman who was like 25 years old, and he was like in his 40s, right?
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Weird. We never have seen that before.
No, I know. It's a very rare thing.
Yeah, right.
Beautiful. She's Polish, blondes, you know, just gorgeous fitness model, like just beautiful, right? Peak condition. And they had been seeing each other, not exclusively, obviously,
right?
But they'd been seeing each other for about 9 months. And one night she got done early with her day and decided she was going to pop by Sean's house and, you know, just see him. And she did pop by and she walked up and saw that there was another woman in the house. So she knocked politely on the door and they ran upstairs and she's like, well, that's not what you do when
subtle.
Yeah.
Run upstairs. That'll solve it. It's like a horror movie.
She explains that she was so upset. She had never been cheated on in her life. She can't fathom the idea. So she broke the window with her hand.
Oh my gosh.
Hulk smash.
She's quite upset.
Yeah.
So that ended the relationship with her. But then all of a sudden, all the women that Sean had been seeing start getting letters.
Oh,
nothing ever good happens from a letter.
These letters come.
Not these days.
With very broken English, basically stating, you think you're the only one who's seen Sean. Here's a list of 18 women who have also been seen Sean.
18?
Damn.
So it's a literal list of the women he's been seen and has been in his rotation.
Oh, she did her homework.
Ronnie got one of those letters. But more importantly, Ronnie's mother got one of these letters.
Oh.
Smart.
Ronnie's mom's like,
excuse me?
No.
Not my Ronnie. Not my little Ron.
No.
Mm-mm.
And Ronnie's mom was like, please don't call her Ron.
I think Ronnie's such a cute name.
I think it's a fucking girl. Amazing.
Not the father of my grandchild.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Ronnie's mom was like, excuse me, sir. And he was like, oh my God, that is not true. This woman is a completely, like, she is after me. She's been stalking me. Don't worry about it, ladies. Don't worry about it, Ronnie. Don't worry
like
about
Ronnie's
it.
Mom Ronnie's mom is giving mom. Him all the side eye right now. But Ronnie's mom.
But they've been together for 20 years. And this woman is just a crazed fan who just happens to be just really, really in love with him. So it has to be that. And so Ronnie is like, Sean's like, forget it. I am taking her. In fact, I'm so mad about this. And this is how much of a crazed fan she is that I'm going to go to the court and get a protection order against her. And he does. He goes to the court because he's like, okay, lady, you broke my window. You are now sending letters to all these people. Well,
I mean, that is fair. Like, she didn't destroy your property.
Yeah. I mean, there's reasons for it, right? Well, at the same time, another woman on the list gets a letter. Her name's Marnie Yang. Marnie Yang is like a wannabe fitness model. She's kind of got her hands in multiple bags too. She's also been seeing Sean for quite some time. They had met at one of the conventions that Sean was at, where he was with like one of the Bears promotional things or whatever, signing footballs and whatnot and sense, right? And she happened to also be in real estate. So they had met up because he'd wanted to do some real estate deals while his girlfriend, who's pregnant, is working two jobs. He wants to just throw some money into real estate.
Don't even get me started on that. I'm sorry. Like, if your girlfriend of 20 years, who is 41, is pregnant and she's working two jobs, I do kind of have an issue with that.
You think?
Well, and you have all of this expendable income that you're going to throw into the business of... someone else? Another woman?
No, I'm sorry. Like,
with probably without consulting Ronnie, I'm
well,
certain.
Of course. Why would he doesn't need to consult
why
her.
Why would
They're
you
not
consult
married?
your partner of 20 years?
They're not married. They don't even share a house. Okay.
But also at this point, I'd be like, Ronnie obviously can like hold her fucking shit down.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
And it's like, take the best thing about that relationship with home dude and be like, boy, deuces. Bye.
Yeah, legit.
You know what I mean?
That's
I've got this on my own. I've had this on my own for 20 years, and I'm going to have this, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, too. Yeah, we shouldn't, you know, Ronnie has agency.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it seems like she did. She was very much like, listen, she was not expecting to get pregnant. I mean, at 41 years old, she was like, this was a complete surprise. But for her, she's like, I'm keeping this baby.
Yeah.
This is my... You know,
right.
I am so happy to be in this place. I mean, she was so excited to be pregnant. She bought like a bracelet, like she's an older woman. So she bought like an emergency medical bracelet just in case anything happened to her, that they knew that she was pregnant.
Yeah.
You know, like she was really, this is like her chance, right?
Yeah.
So it
just sucks. It makes me so sad.
It's terrible. I mean, so the thing of it is like I was saying, this murder that happens for Ronnie, like Ronnie doesn't have enemies, right? So the police are like, first of all, the first and foremost, they're trying to find out who Ronnie is right away. And one of the things that they found in her purse was this letter written to her with all these women on it. And so they immediately are like, oh, her boyfriend is Sean Gale. Mm-hmm. Well, Sean Gale is like I said,
a player,
Chicago royalty. So he gets a call from like one of his people that he knows in the media. And so he calls the police department and it's recorded because he's like, hey, I just got told that I'm a suspect in something. He's like, I don't know what's going on. He's like, I heard there was something happening in Deerfield. That's where my girlfriend lives. He's like, does this have something to do with Ronnie? Is she okay? The police are like, no, Ronnie is not okay. And she, you know, he's like, I'm headed to her house right now. And they were like, do not go to her house. Come to the police station. You know, we want to talk to you. And he's just like, is there something wrong? You know, and they were like, yeah, she's not okay. She's dead. And he just like breaks down on the phone. Like he is definitely like crying, like he is upset, right? But of course the police are like, okay, you're crying now, but let's see, right?
Yeah, I mean, murder, the astronomical percentage of murders of pregnant women when it's like the father,
especially when the father is kind of maybe not really going to be that involved.
It absolutely makes sense for the police to be like, we need to speak with you immediately,
the
if not sooner.
The statistics around murder for pregnant women is devastating.
Yeah.
High. Like if you look at those statistics, it is deeply upsetting.
Yeah.
So
God. So they are of course suspicious, right? Because why wouldn't you be? This is the this is the boyfriend of, you know, this woman. She's pregnant. They don't live together. There's lots of questions.
Right.
And, you know, of course, we're not sure how happy he was that he was having a baby. Right. Mm-hmm. But they do search Gail's home. So they're like, you know, we're going to want to take a little look-see at your place. Right. Yeah. And they do find that actually Gail had actually been, you know, buying baby stuff as well. Like he even had a baby naming book that he'd been, you know, so he was, it seemed as though he, not that he was taking a corner, like a turn, but it does seem that he was accepting that he was going to be a father and like somewhat excited about it. Like yeah. that he was like, you know, I don't know that it meant that they were going to get married, but I do know that he was like preparing himself for this next role in his life. Right.
Okay.
So they do a search of Gail's house and they turned up, you know, a few things. But one of the first things that Gail said was like, hey, you guys might want to take a little look-see at Mana Karowska. She is somebody that I had to file a restraining order against. This woman is very much been like coming after me, has been sending these letters to, you know, women that I know or had been with or whatever. Like, and, mm-hmm. you know, there's this list of like 18 women who also could possibly, yeah, no, that's true. So all of those women are actually possibly going to be a suspect too.
Oh Lord.
So of course they're, you know, they talk to her. She's like, I was, you know, I actually had an appointment that morning. It wasn't me. I was with my, I had a, you know, she's a trainer.
Yeah.
She was like, I was training a client. I was with him all morning. The guy corroborates the story, but they were like, okay, they corroborate it. But I mean, we don't know how close they are and this could be a lie.
Like, her breaking his window, out of line completely. Right. Like you should never, we talked about this on the last episode.
Don't love it.
Do not be breaking people's like property. No. Her writing letters to all those women.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at that. I'm actually not mad at that because I'm just kind of like, why shouldn't you?
Like she was misled and she was hurt and she's like, I wonder if these people are also misled.
I feel like it's the same thing.
You the information.
People do that all the time when they find out, you know, stuff and then they go on Facebook and they Facebook mm-hmm. message someone else. And I don't know that it's always going to work out.
This guy bought you a coffee pot as well?
It's not necessarily going to work out well for you, right?
Like, right.
However, I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with telling them. Like, yeah. I don't think there's any, so I don't know. I don't think him trying to, yes. Okay. Breaking of the window. Very bad. But besides that, it's him trying to paint her as being like unhinged is maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the story, maybe she did it. Okay. But I don't like the idea of just like, she's unhinged because she reached out to my 19 other women. You know,
right.
Like,
right. Bitch, please.
You know, yeah. Like,
no, you deserve that motherfucker. Yeah. No, I totally agree. And it seemed though that there was also some other things that made them feel like they were being harassed, like things that were like happening kind of under the radar as well. I don't know the extent of all of the things.
Sure.
But when they did a search of Sean's house, they found his computer. They went through his computer and they realized that his computer had been hacked. And so they were like, well, this is really weird. It looks like your emails have been hacked and that like people have like somebody's been like looking through your emails and going through your stuff. And it looks like it's this Marnie Yang who mm-hmm. is on this list. This is somebody else you've been dating.
Yes. See, now that's an example of something that's inappropriate.
Totally. I mean, now that you talk about like, it, like, you know, that does feel a little inappropriate.
Maybe don't hack into people's private computers.
Right.
Like, that's not chill, Marnie. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Marnie. Not chill.
Sweetie.
So Marnie Yang is, like I said, she's this, the real estate agent. They've been making, you know, working on some deals together and stuff, but they definitely had started having a sexual relationship. And it seems as though like to her friends, she had been telling them like, oh yeah, I'm seeing Sean Gail. Like this is my boyfriend. And when the police asked her about it, they were like, no, I mean like not like he's not my boyfriend. Like, I just see him and whatever sometimes, but we just be seeing each other, but we're not like, you know, serious.
I mean, I've seen him, but I don't know him.
I don't know him. But they did know each other in a biblical sense and quite often. And they were like, that's weird because you're literally, why are you researching the house emails? And so they start to get suspicious of Yang. And they're like, okay, let's do, I mean, we can't get a warrant. There's nothing really to go off of other than this is just weird. And so they do a little free search of her trash bins because it's on the curb. It's not hers any longer.
Public.
It's public property. So they do a little searchy search of her trash bins. And in the trash bins, they find some receipts, literal receipts.
I bet they
did. Yeah, they did. Literal and metaphorical receipts.
Look, let me tell you, I would love, it's gross. Yeah, but I would love to go through someone's trash.
Oh, because God.
The stuff you can learn. I want to snoop because I'm just like
do I get gloves?
Gloves all the way.
Mine is just that old salad box that I bought at the beginning of the week thinking I was going to have salads and then
it's just all the lettuce that turned brown and mushy in your crisper drawer that you bought 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And then you ordered takeout for like 6 days in a row.
Oh, I've had that salad.
Mm-hmm. But you learn a lot about people.
Yeah. They did. They found that in her disgusting trash bags, she had also, through the receipts, they found that she had bought some background checks on everyone that he had been dating.
How much money did she spend on that? That's a lot of people.
No, but she
did. You can get a subscription for like $25 a month where you get like unlimited. Well, I know because I did it while I was dating.
Oh.
I subscribed to a site where I could put someone's name in to see if there were any like any jail time, court time, anything like that.
Smart
and just
girl.
Put their name in because I'm like $25 a month is worth it for me to spend. And this is not a light Google. This is a subscription. This is a full Google.
This is a full Google. They have your credit card information. It's
exactly. So it's as cheap as $25 a month. So
there you go.
All right.
Well, she did a full background check on all of the people that she had or that Sean had been seeing. Right.
Right.
So they are like, interesting. They also found a receipt for a book on how to make silencer.
Oh.
You bought a book? You bought...
No, she bought two.
Oh.
Two books.
Two editions.
Oh.
Two editions and of a paperback.
She also had a Home Depot receipt in which she had purchased the items in which to make a silencer.
Oh, Marnie.
So they're like, you know what? We should probably talk to her at the police station. Go ahead and come on in, Marnie. Let's go have a little chat, a little chatsy chat. And she's like, oh, the silencer book. That's so funny. Yeah, actually, I got that for my kids because my kid has a... Wait. What? My kid has a science fair a project coming up and it's about noise, deafening. And she's like...
They're like, imagine you're a teacher and your student comes in with that science fair project.
Like, bitch, I put a seed in a cup for a science fair project. Okay. That's what I'm like.
Styrofoam cup.
So at school.
The police were like, well, that's funny because school doesn't start for another, 3 to 4 weeks? And she's like, well, you got to think ahead. Swear to God, this is videotaped.
That is the worst.
And recorded. And then she was like, well, actually, I actually got the books. This gag gift. I got it for my friend. I'd gotten him dinner and tickets to a theater and a dinner and this book. It was a gag gift book.
Wait, sorry. I'm sorry. You can't just change your story. Like, was it a science fair project or was it a gag gift?
Also,
it was gag gift.
I love it when people think that they can come up with an excuse or like outsmart the cops. It's like, of course I love it because then we get to solve crimes because they're all like so stupid. But what about I'm going to talk to my lawyer because your lawyer is a smarter person that can think of a better excuse for those silencer books. But
also,
everybody always thinks that they can make an excuse or out-talk or outsmart the cops on these
things.
Why do
these people also always, why does it always feel like they're coming up with an excuse on the fly?
Yes.
It's like, motherfucker, you didn't think you know what, maybe before I commit this criminal act, I'll come up with my excuses before
then. Why do
then,
I have
in
books
case,
on silencers?
Like, why don't I go to the store or the, I don't know, library, take pictures of the book, not rent it, not put money
on
it.
Well, now we're just giving tips to criminals, Cassie.
Oh, absolutely.
Shit, sorry. I take that back. It's a bad idea. They can track that.
I'm just saying, clearly none of these people are us, because like we would have T to B, like, had all the scenarios figured out.
No, dude, what are watch you doing? A fucking Dateline episode.
Just Marty. Listen, just one date. On, this, well,
one.
This is Dateline. This specific one. Yeah. All right. So
what not to do.
What not to do by Marnie Yang. Marnie Yang. But they still, like, the prosecutors are like, that's not enough evidence. Just knowing that she had a book on silencer and had bought stuff for a silencer doesn't mean anything. She also had lots of guns, but this is like, they're not finding any 9mm bullet or guns or anything like that. And they are, though, able to eventually get a warrant to get into her house. Her house and her mother's house, in which they find the mailing labels that match all those nice little flyers that apparently Monica was sending out, was not Monica. So Sean Gale had gotten a restraining order against a woman who had done nothing other than accidentally break a window. She said it was an accident. She did apologize.
But yeah, she's like, put some respect on my name.
She did.
I'm not out here trying to fucking write letters or whatever.
Monica broke the window.
Marnie did.
No, Monica did.
Monica broke the window.
Oh, I thought Marnie had broken the window.
Monica, Polish woman.
Got it.
Broken English.
See, this is what happens when you have too many girlfriends. I'm so sorry. I cannot keep them straight.
Monica's living her life now. She's like, I was pissed in the moment, like, but I'm hot and 25.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, literally, they interview her, and that's almost exactly. She's like, yeah, no, I was mad at the time. It really was an accident. She's like, I was very upset, and I just lashed out. I was knocking on the window. I got too hard.
I was very strong.
She's like, I'm a trainer. I'm very spelt.
Very, very strong.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, she was like, but literally she was like, and then I left and in my mind, we've broken up. It's done.
Yeah.
So she's like literally having her name dragged in the mud because Marnie Yang has been writing all these letters, but pretty much like because she's writing them in a very cryptic, like, or not cryptic, but like in a like broken English way. The way she was able to do all this is because she's literally been breaking into Sean's emails. So she had written emails in the past. She knows her writing style. She knows like everything. She's done background checks. That's so she knows everyone's addresses.
Like,
it's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of work.
Extra.
It's so extra. So they find the mailing labels. So they quickly are like, you know, we're pretty certain that this is, you know, the person who's been sending it, right? So still the prosecutors are like, there's not really a smoking gun here, literally. There's no real evidence that she is attached to this murder. Mm-hmm. So the prosecutors are just like, have you looked through like everything? And she's like, you know, what was her story? She was at home with her son. She had spent the night before with Sean. She was with Sean the night before. She had gone home.
Marnie.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Monica gone.
Yeah.
She out. Mm-hmm. Marnie had spent the night with Sean the night before this murder happened. Her car had broke down. By the time she got home, her car broke down and she was stuck at home with her son. Her son had to stay home from school. So that was her alibi, right? Mm-hmm. So they were like, okay. So did you look to see if she had a rental car, anything like that? And they were like, well, her cell phone was at her house. It pinged off the towers in her neighborhood. She was there. So they were like, how else could she have done this? So they did. They had just recently gotten the ability to be able to search for rental car vehicles and found that she had a rental car in her name that was dropped off at her good friend Christy Passion's house. But this story has everything.
Christy Passion. Christy
Passions. It really feels like a Lifetime movie.
Christy
name.
Passion is not spelled that way, but it is in my head. It is.
It is in my head. It is.
It is now.
It is now.
It's a Christy with an I, you know,
K-R-S-T-I.
Yep. Oh, C-H-R-I-S-T-I.
Yeah.
Passion. I would like to tell you what Christy does for a living. Guess. Just like one wild guess.
Sex therapist.
So close. Not really, but still funny.
Not really, but still funny. I don't know. Is she a physical therapist?
She's a psychic.
No.
Yes.
Christy Passions. The psychic. I love it.
This story has everything. So Christy Passion has a car at her house. And this little black Volkswagen Rabbit.
I forgot. Is that a car?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Do you remember a rabbit?
No.
Yeah, I
didn't
do.
Know that they were still around. I didn't know they were still around in 2007. I thought this was
I had one like after I moved out here.
Oh, I thought you had a golf.
No, rabbit.
Anyway, rabbit. They found her a rental agreement with Enterprise. The car was dropped off at Christy's house. They also found that on the rental receipt, there was a phone number that they hadn't noticed before. And they were like, that's interesting. Because we got Marnie's cell phone at her house, but there is a different phone number attached to this. So they checked that phone out and it was a, what is that? Burner phone. It was a burner phone that had been bought.
Always suspicious.
100%.
Oh, yeah.
Like 100% Marnie's, right?
Who's buying burner phones for a legitimate reason?
I don't
Please,
know.
Please, like, no message one. Us if there's, like, an actual legit reason to have a burner phone. Honestly. Every time I see that, I'm like, shady.
Yeah, okay, no, I really feel like if you, yep. Mm-hmm, I really feel like if you have a burner phone, you should, if you go to buy one, you should be put on a registry immediately. Like, I'm just like, we need a record of this.
Yeah.
And speaking of Nurse Jackie, that would have been another good one where you're like, why is she hot? She's terrible.
Awful.
Edie Falco's a dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we said Howells earlier too. But
yeah.
Anyway. All right. So phone on the contract leads back to Marnie. There's only a couple phone calls made. One of those phone calls was made to Christy Passion at her workplace. And so her workplace just happens to record all the calls. So they do have a recording. Hello, this is Christy Passion. Whatever the workplace is called. And the caller is her good friend, Marnie. And Marnie says, want to go to dinner tonight? And Christy says, oh, yeah. And Marnie's like, are you okay? And she's like, yeah. Yeah. And that was, so there's a very cryptic, like, was there like a message there? The police
or
are like,
code,
is
yeah.
there a code? Like, what's going on? So they're like really starting to be like, the fuck is going on here? So they bring Christy in and they're like, listen, Miss Passion, we got questions. What is my sign?
Can you read my birth chart?
tell me a little bit about myself. You're a jack of diamonds. Oh my God, I knew it. All right, anyway, Christy is like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. My good friend Marnie would never do anything. That's so weird that you would mention or think that. And they're like, okay, but here's all the evidence that links the two of you. And she's like, wait, what? The two of us? I don't know what you're talking about.
You didn't
about.
See this coming, Christy?
Christy yeah. did not.
Honey?
You think
yeah.
she would have seen this in her yeah. stars.
She's not religious. She's spiritual.
Oh, my God. That's the title of this episode. So Christy is very quickly like, you know what, guys, I think I can help you out with this. And so the police are like,
Christy turned on Marnie so fucking
so
quick,
so fast,
no loyalty,
so fast, so fast. Did you feel that breeze?
Yeah,
that was
my
Christy.
Neck just got snapped. I got whiplash.
Yeah, you did. She wore a wire and they went to have dinner at their good old meeting place, Denny's, like you do. And while wearing the wire,
over a moon's over Miami,
get that grand slam in.
She did. And she got a full grand slam with a full confession in which Marnie decided that she was going to share all the details of everything that she did. You want to be mad? The people in the complex where Ronnie was murdered said that they saw somebody running away. Dark skin, glasses.
She did not.
Yes, she did.
No.
Oh, no.
She darkened her skin.
No, she did blackface to commit crimes. Oh, no.
Wore a cornrow wig.
No.
And big sunglasses. Yes, she did.
Whoa.
You know what? I was watching a one of those body language analyst videos with Jeffrey Dahmer in it. And it was one of those interviews where he's just being like pretty straightforward about like all the fucking heinous shit he did.
Mm-hmm.
But when they ask him if his crimes were racially motivated, the way he's like, absolutely the fuck not. I'm like, you're willing to. And you're like, yes, I'm a fucking terrible I'm a person. I'm a piece of shit murderer. But I'm not a racist. And then you got Marnie.
And then you got Marnie. You got
Marnie.
Marnie.
Come on, man. Like
Marnie. Well, Christy also very quickly, not only did she, was she like, I'm going to wear a wire. I'm going to get you the goods. But she's like, let's take a little tour around the city because I also know where she dropped all the shit off. She was like, it was this dumpster and this dumpster. And then she was going to jump, get rid of her jumpsuit. And I said, don't put that in the trash. Why don't you go ahead and donate that? And here's the donation box that she dumped it. And I also remember going to go to this one place and dig up a place. And so she did. And so they went there with a little dee, 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 and found in the ground one beautiful pearl bracelet that said pregnant.
Oh,
that was Ronnie's.
Jesus, man.
Yeah. So Marnie is now spending the rest of her unfortunate, shitty life in prison.
As she should.
As she should. And has now decided that she wants to fight for her life again. She said it was all a joke, that she made up that story. She knew she was being recorded the whole time. So now
okay,
she
that doesn't explain.
A judge has allowed her.
Stop it.
To. Has allowed her to. This was in 2019. Has allowed her to pursue the option of like trying to see if she can come up with. Basically, they're like, yeah, sure, you can try to come up with enough stuff to get yourself out of this, but it doesn't mean anything right now. It's just a matter of like, it's not like she's going to get paroled. It doesn't mean anything. It's just kind of more of a, we'll allow you to pursue this.
Ugh.
Yeah. But worse. I don't think it's going to go much of anywhere. It seems as though they got it pretty locked up. They have a lot of evidence. And again, a confession.
I mean, the most important update I think that you can give us is how much it costs to get a reading from Christy Passions, Chicago, Illinois.
Well, that I can't tell you. I wish I could. And they didn't have an update on Sean Gale except to say that, like, really after the trial and everything that he had basically said, this was like years after, like when they finally all came through the courts and everything, and his statement basically was like, you know, I should be celebrating 3 years of my daughter's life right now. Like, it's just, you know, she robbed us of two amazingly beautiful people. And that's really,
yeah,
the shame of it all. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Awful. Oof.
Wow. I had never heard any of that
me
before.
Neither.
I've not seen that Dateline.
I thought I had listened to it. I thought I had listened to it because I definitely saw it come up on my Dateline Dangerous Liaisons.
Yeah.
And I was like certain that I had listened to that one. And you know, so many of those are like love triangles or relationships.
Yes. Oh yeah.
You know, and so I thought for sure I'd heard that story. I had not. I had
you know
not
what's
heard
funny
that.
Is I it showed that I'd listened to it. I didn't remember it. So that's I don't know possible. If you do what I do, which is sometimes I'll be like working and just kind of have it in my
cleaning
my ears. Like, and just kind of like not realizing that I'm not paying attention to both things anymore.
For sure. Sure. Could have been. Ooh. Wow. Good one, though. Good one. Oof. That is a classic tainted love.
It was.
In the most like traditional sense.
Yeah.
Wow. I was pretty sure that was coming back around on Mr. Gale. So,
you know what? I did too.
Statistically, I would have been.
Truly.
Yeah.
Truly.
It's a good bit.
I thought Monica for a long time too. I mean, it was twisty.
Well, that's what happens when you have 18, 19.
I mean, honestly, you had 60 more suspects,
you know?
Here. I mean,
yeah, like,
exactly.
But what are you watching?
You guys have got to watch The Curse of Von Dutch immediately.
Oh, I will.
On the list.
I want to so much. Like, I really feel like this is for you, Gen Z. Let me tell you, you want to bring back 2000s millennium fashion so bad.
Trucker hats.
But you don't know what it was like in these streets.
It was
okay. Like the Von Dutch situation was out of control.
Oh, it burned hot and fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was ubiquitous for like 2 years.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Everywhere.
Everyone.
Everyone.
People you did not expect. Like A-list celebrities are rocking. Yes. Across
all, you had like Paris Hilton to Tommy Lee to Dennis Rodman to
everybody.
I mean, it was everybody was wearing Von Dutch. It was so prolific. But the story behind it.
I literally no clue. I'm so excited.
I had no clue. None whatsoever. Yeah. Ooh, there are twists. There are turns. It's also just a well done, well paced, perfect amount of time documentary. It's in, it's out. It's great. I can't recommend it enough. It's very awesome. Entertaining.
I'm into it. Well, I've been watching The Sopranos, which I feel like I've already talked about pretty extensively. So
yeah, you will be probably for the next couple weeks. Right?
I will, yeah, because we are on the deep dive. But I read something.
Ooh.
Okie dokie.
Was it spicy?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It was, but you don't want to read it.
Okay.
No.
It's called Verity, and it was like, it's a psychological thriller.
Oh.
But it is an erotic psychological thriller. Like when I tell you,
don't tell
that,
me
like,
what I do and don't want to read.
But this book is fucked up, and it has like stuck with me in the worst way. And like I've read a lot of like psychological thrillers, and it's not the best one I've ever read. They are making a movie, which I'm interested about that. Mm-hmm. But these sex scenes are so graphic.
Okay,
like they're graphic. That part is fine. That part's not a big deal, but
there's you say.
But there's also like just there's abuse in it that is just like not great. It's just if you want to go on a wild ride, then by all means, like go for it.
Okay.
Give it a shot. Mm-hmm. See how you feel. It kept me going because I was just like, yeah, you want to know what happens next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the protagonist kind of got on my nerves and like, man, it's dark.
Okay.
Like, it is dark.
Okay.
All right.
So there you go. Okay.
I actually am a little interested now.
Yeah. No. I mean, it is, I would say it is the most erotic psychological thriller I've ever read. Like the sex scenes are like, they are not here to play,
okay,
with the descriptions of what is happening.
Jesus. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I just got hot. I know.
Yeah. Ooh, I mean, spicy. Let me tell you, they're like, she gets eaten out so good she leaves teeth marks in the headboard.
Oh
so
okay.
There you go. Do with that what you will, listeners.
Verity. Okay. As recommended by Keegan.
Don't you put my name on this.
Don't you dare.
Verity by Christy Passion.
Yes. Oh, wow. I have a hot take. I watched Red Notice.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And my hot take is I didn't hate it.
That is a hot take.
I know.
You love like an action movie.
I love not thinking.
Yeah.
I love being entertained.
Yeah.
And I was. And
I didn't mean to say yeah like that. Like that sounded like I was like, yeah, you love not thinking. That's not all I meant. Like,
oh yeah, that sounds very you.
No, but at the same time, it's like you watch like movies that are like Oscar contenders and go into that, but you're not of any. You're the type of person that's going to watch Red Notice and not like think, oh, this is going to be up for an Oscar or whatever.
Yeah.
You're able to appreciate a movie for the lane that it's in.
Exactly.
It's instead of trying to put them all in the same lane.
Exactly. It's the same way that like I can enjoy like a cheeseball romantic comedy. And I know that I'm watching a cheeseball romantic comedy and like that's what I'm watching. And I'm here to enjoy that.
Yeah. Boss Baby is not Sophie's Choice.
No.
Two different movies.
You can enjoy it. You're allowed to.
Yeah.
You know what I think is underrated?
Enjoying
not shit. Allowing people to enjoy what they like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it was the best movie ever made. Do I even think it was the best movie in that genre? Not even close. But did I find it enjoyable? Did I go into it thinking, oh, this is going to be anything more than what it was, which was just an enjoyable movie? Like, I literally am like, when people are like, oh, it was awful, I'm like, what did you think? Right. I literally want to know, like, what
did you go in thinking you were going to watch The Departed, and then you were like,
that 100%.
It's not that.
Of course it's not. No, it's not.
Yeah, it's just like light and
Yeah. It's campy. It's got fucking Ryan Reynolds in it.
Oh, well,
hey,
yeah.
You know it's going to be just a little campy. It's Ryan Reynolds and
The Rock.
The Rock.
Yeah.
Dwayne Johnson. I mean, like, you got what you paid for.
Yeah.
It was good. I mean, it was good for what it was. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel the need to diagnose it for more than just being just a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Well, hey, if you guys have something that we should watch or read, or if you have stories, please send those holiday stories our way. Go to our one-stop shop of a website. It's myworstdatepodcast.com, and we love you so much.
Cheers.